this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the not so good Manchester United news from this side of the pond. Sir.
How you doing? How you doing? The news from this side of the pond. I don't know if we're out of it. I don't know if we're ever in it, but it feels like top four is true and well gone and dusted. Not in the cards this year. Tough 1-1 draw at Old Trafford against Chelsea scum. Sir, how you feeling? Wasn't great.
Been a disappointing set of matches here. The highs under Ole, we have the lows under Ole. Not to get too far into the Game of Thrones lore, but this feels like the Battle of the Bastards, mate, when Jon Snow was pretty much defeated.
We might be Ramsay.
Not for, if not for the, who came to save Jon Snow?
What was it called? The Vale.
Knights of the Vale coming running in. So maybe, I don't know, the Knights of the Vale equivalent would be Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal losing every game.
Which they have been. They've kept us in it by continuing to lose even during our rough patch. So I think there would be too much to ask them. There's no way. Like, one of them's going to step up. I think it's got to be Chelsea. Because they're going to take a lot of confidence. They got a draw, which for them was a big point, man. Because as soon as it was 1-1, I was like, that's 1-1. That's a 1-1 game.
We have to have a hard look in the mirror this offseason. I mean, you had 9 points up for grabs the last three matches. We have one. Everything has gone our way as far as the opposition for top four, and we have not capitalized on Everton away and Chelsea at home. Chelsea at home, must win. Everton away, must win. We have those 6 points. We're cruising to top four. We have one of those six. Clearly, the Derby City, the form they're on, I wasn't expecting too much from the lads. But again, just for me, we're always touching the line of breaking through, and it's kind of a governor. For some reason, we look like we're going to break through. We just can't.
Even in this game, we came out hot. First 20 minutes, we looked good. We looked like we could have put a bunch of goals for them past Chelsea, which, hey, if you had the victory, the goal difference would only help. So, but then all of a sudden, we like take our feet off the gas and let them back into the game, and then a mistake costs you.
Mistakes.
They've been costing us.
Been a few. Apologies for. Might be a little off the mark.
How you feeling,
here.
Sir?
I've been up since 3 a.m. West Coast time here. Just got off the flight from beautiful JFK in New York City. I had Delta Airlines. They got some solid Wi-Fi.
It wasn't down?
First of all, I thought I had the satellite live TV. Then I'm on an older plane, no live TV. Then I buy the Wi-Fi. Great connection. I was able to watch NBC Sports. Only had to refresh a few times.
Not bad.
Got to see the full match and... You know, when Mata scored, I was like fist pumping. I'm wearing the jersey. People looking at me like I'm crazy. I just can't hold back the emotion on the flight. And then dejected, mate. So if I'm a little off the mark, apologies to all the American Red Devil fans out there.
Hey, I didn't notice. And we're trying to get that pot out early.
And
sir.
When I
day
landed,
off, we're breaking down a 1-1 game. We should have been winning. We broke down a 1-1 draw at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I landed. Took an Uber right to your house. Turned on the mic. I'm haggard, sir.
Just like
the boys in the second half. Haggard is the best way to describe it. Hey, let's jump in. Of course, we're talking about Manchester United 1, Chelsea 1 at Old Trafford. The must-win match.
Must-win.
Sir, let's jump into the lineup. We called a little bit of it. Didn't see this many changes. We had Dave Saves the World, number 1 in net. He was not dropped for Romero, like you had said. Shaw, Lindelof, Baye's back from the concussion. Young. Back four, we had Pogba, Matic, Herrera, Mata, Rashford, Lukaku up for the front two. Kind of that diamond midfield like you like so much. Sir, how are you feeling about this lineup when it came out?
Sir, I mean, other than the inclusion of Ashley Young, I would have liked to see DeLow. I was pretty excited about this team. I think bring that midfield in that's shown shown the ability to boost up Pogba in Matic and Herrera. They haven't shown the greatest form in the last couple of weeks, but... Hey, big opportunity to step up, and then a front three. I like Mata playing behind Rashford and Lukaku. I'd hope they get some chances today.
I like the idea of starting the ex-Chelsea players, Lukaku and Mata. I mean, that's like a...
And Matic.
And Matic, the throwback to Sir Alex, because you always get the best out of players when they play against their former club. And Mata in the hole, for some reason, you know, you would rate a Lingard there. He hasn't been coming off, so I like you to switch it back to Mata. Mata, Torreira, you know, the midfield hasn't been coming off, so switch it back to those guys. Herrera coming back from who knows where. Apparently, I thought he was gambling in Monaco. Now he's back in the side. And I'll tell you, when it kicked off, Herrera was essentially the solution to our midfield. He makes everything work, unfortunately. And if he's going to PSG,
we got
to
replace him.
I'm frightened. My thoughts on the lineup other than that were Paul P. Like, hey, there's a lot of haters. Twitterverse is alight on all the comments. There's pro-Pogba, anti-Pogba. Either way, he needs to be a leader. He needs to step up in these big games, prove to the fans that he's going to be, hopefully, the future captain of Manchester United, who's going to grind out those results we so badly need. I just was really looking for Pogba to have a brace, breakout performance, and show us why he's our £89 million man.
And he did show glimpses of it. I think when we were at our best in the probably opening glimpses. 20, 25 minutes, he looked pretty good. But the problem is, I think this team, I don't know what it is, man. Maybe it's lack of fitness, but we seem to just drop off or we can't keep the same mental intensity. I was watching City play Burnley, and they're chasing a goal in the second half, and they need a goal, right, to win the game, to win the league. And they just turn the screws, bro. The level of intensity, it's like, yeah, you tell exactly. They're chasing it, and they just keep coming at him over and over and over. And
we don't give up.
We needed to bring that in the second half. We tapered off after they got the goal because, once again, when you have your best, most consistent player for years make a mental error that leads to a goal, it's hard.
Well, sir, let's not get over our skis here. Let's get into the first half. I mean, starts off wide open. The boys full of piss and vinegar. Loved it. Great start from the lads. And in the fourth minute, we always talk about these big chances. The last 10 matches, either Rashford or Lukaku always has this big chance early in the game. And if we convert, we usually go on to win. And
if
is a big thing. This fourth minute, amazing ball by Luke Shaw. Lukaku brings it down, but that club foot lets him down. That second touch, he had nothing doing. Kepa was able to deal with the issue. But, man, I was like, Lukaku, hot garbage here. He's got to put this away. He was clearing on his left boot. He's got to be taking it early.
Pogba-level pass.
Pogba-level pass from Luke Shaw. I mean, he was probably going to be our player of the season, our breakout lad. And the fact that we do not convert here, I was just so fired up after this. I was like, another one of these rude chances.
It's always the fourth minute.
It's always the fourth minute.
Yeah, fourth, fifth, or sixth minute. You got to be taking him. But we didn't have to wait too long, did we, sir? The 11th minute.
Pogba again. Finds Lukaku. The scoop towards Luke Shaw. Shaw is in. Juan Mata. 1-0 Manchester United. The former Chelsea man gives the Red Devils the lead in a game they simply have to win to entertain any idea of Champions League football next season. And it's Manchester United 1, Chelsea 0.
Well, it ends up a tap-in for Mata. All the hard work he's done before. Really good hold-up play. Shaw, brilliant. Magnificent ball from Lukaku. Left foot, little dink. An easy finish, but all the work beforehand was absolutely superb. Watch Shaw's run. And it's just one touch with the right foot, a chip with the left foot, and Lukaku started this game on fire.
Happy birthday, Juan Mata. Good goal made from Lukaku. Chips a beautiful pass over the defense in the path of Luke Shaw, and Luke Shaw is vital again. Keeper came out to block the shot, but Shaw touched the ball across the area of Mata to score on his right foot. Nice cutback.
A lot to do.
Yeah. Cut through three defenders, but good goal, and I was excited.
Yeah, I mean, I was buzzing. Like I said, I was in my coach seat,
middle seat,
pumping.
Middle seat, or
I had an aisle seat so I could get that left hand
so
fist pump going
you.
Strong. I think I had a few glances, but I was streaming it on my iPhone, so it's pretty hysterical.
Whatever it takes.
After this goal, United were like, this is when you talk about turning the screws. I think when you get to the second half, we kind of. Everything we had was in the first 20 minutes here, and we were trying to get that second goal, and it wasn't coming. Chelsea were able, credit to them, they didn't create a lot in the final third, but when they were breaking out, Hazard did well, a lot of players did well for Chelsea, a lot of fouls as well.
A lot of Higuain offsides, which was impressive.
Higuain, yeah.
Offsides, like first 70 minutes.
Comical. 30th minute. Good chance from Bai to make it 2-0 from a corner, but just wide again. These chances haunting us here. We really needed that second goal to try to kill Chelsea off. I mean, these are more than half chances as well. 34th minute, Lukaku shoulders Azpilicueta. This was a great highlight from the match. So Lukaku, he giveth, he taketh away. He misses that fourth minute chance. integral to that 11th-minute goal, and then he's doing work up front. But again, you have to question his fitness in the second half.
No doubt. And the rest of the team, I mean, he basically faded from this point. He played really well in the first 35 minutes, and then kind of like the rest of the squad, we seem to run out of legs. It's been a recurring theme, too, sir. We come out hot out of the gate, hopefully capitalizing some chances. This game, actually, we finally scored. First time in, like, what, 500 minutes or something crazy like that?
Terrible. Terrible stuff. But Chelsea, without a shot on target, we were doing a job defensively. I mean, everyone's going to hate Ashley Young. He, again, his crosses did not come off, but he did play against Hazard, did a good job defensively. And all I was saying, we need to get into half, up a goal. And even while we had that goal, I said, you know what? One is not going to be enough. Nope. I think that's when we talked right after the match. We texted. You said, De Gea cost us the match. And I actually always knew that we needed another goal to win this one. I thought that Chelsea was going to be good for a goal. But we can debate it, sir, in the 43rd minute.
Rudiger. Shot from distance. Wasn't a bad one. Spilled by De Gea and put into the back of the net by Marcus Alonso. And David De Gea's grim form for Manchester United continues.
Davis saved us, and now he's killing us. So, you know, you can't. The way I think about it is clear error. I probably couldn't save it. Obviously, I'm not a pro keeper.
Oh, they're good. Catch the ball. That's a hard ask. But he's a world-class goalkeeper, and these are mistakes that he doesn't normally make.
It was also a good finish from Alonso. It was tight angle off the post and in. This is also like clear error.
It was like Buffon. It was like Buffon, the second yes. Lukaku goal yes. where he got bundled after the Rashford shot.
It was wet that night. Either way.
And that was a weirder hit. That hit the ground first, too. So you got to say, it was a mistake.
You know, you can look at this one and say, De Gea should do better. He didn't have much to do in the first half. But again, I'm not going to get into this De Gea ain't good enough train. We know he's good enough.
He saved us for years. So
he's got, you know, money on his mind. Something's on his mind. Whether he's going to leave or he stays, we just got to treat him well. You know, we got two games left this season. He's either going to sign the deal or he's going to go. And if he goes, we're going to make a good check. And if he stays, he's going to be our number one keeper. So either way, you can't slate him that hard. That's kind of my policy on this one.
No, Dave giveth and Dave taketh away, right? How many games did he keep us in? How many wins did he allow us to win because we only conceded one or even nil? But he's been a huge player for us over the last 5, 6, 7 years. But now, last couple of games, he just, you know, had a dreadful form, and that's just the whole team's in dreadful form, to be honest.
Like,
so we've lost
like
all
that.
Of our magic, and
goalies
he's low confidence at the moment. So it's like he just needs to get his head straight.
Yeah,
he's still one of the best goalkeepers in the world, probably the best goalkeeper in the league. Just right now, he's not on form.
Yeah, goalkeeping requires a certain amount of confidence. Like a striker, you can go out there and not have a lot of confidence and get lucky. With goalies, you don't have that confidence. You're going to let in goals, right? And
right.
So clearly, he's shook. I say you give him the summer to get it back. Either way, I want him to stay at Manchester United. He will return to his former form, if you
what
will.
About that, what about that shout for the Romero start? It wasn't the worst call in the world. I mean, the problem is they're negotiating a contract, and I think if you drop him at this point,
yeah, so
that would have sent some wrong signals.
Post-game, Gary Neville said, you know, you drop him, you lose him, right?
Right.
And so it's kind of one of those things where you're trying to get him to stay at the same time. I do think Romero probably would have done better with Romero, and that we probably would have won nothing. We probably would have better chances for top four. But again, those four goals we let in at Everton, if you look at goal differential, there's still a lot to do. Chelsea has to play Leicester, though, away their last game of the season, which Leicester's firing right
playing
now.
Everybody, beating everybody.
Beating everyone. So again, nothing's guaranteed. We go on 1-1. I said, okay, we're playing at home. We got Paul P. We got a bunch of big players. Well, I'm not worried. I thought we would score. I thought we would win. Honestly.
Well, I thought we'd come out of the second half like we came out of the first half. And we came out of the second half like we've been coming out of second halves.
Yeah. And this is the one thing that you can slate Ole for, is that for some reason, he's not able to significantly impact a game in the later stages, in the second half, he's not able to change things. And part of that goes to the tactics I heard over the microphone, which is like, pass it forward, always yelling at him to pass it forward in like the 83rd minute. And clearly they know that they got to score a goal.
Yeah, they kept passing back to De Gea. Yeah, and Phelan was ducking his head for that. They were not happy about it.
Yeah, so again, there is some sort of disconnect when it comes to the tactics and sort of the bravery on the pitch United did not have in the second half. We did not deserve to win. That being said, let's jump into it. 65th minute, Sanchez on for Rashford. Rashford clearly, I think, had a knock. He went straight down the tunnel, did not sit on the bench to watch the rest of the game. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Rashford is okay. 67th minute, I mean, this was Kovacic and Bailly come together. He goes down injured, looking like his knee. So we get that boost having Bailly come back. And, man, he put on some crunching challenges.
Played well.
He played well. The headers as well coming in with no concern to his body, similar to, like, Phil Jones. Maybe a little sharper. Tough to see him go off with an injury.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because he looks good next to Lindelof and he looked calm on the ball and he's more willing to play the ball forward than say a Smalling or a Jones often are. So that's a bummer. It looks like he's gonna be done for the season with only two games left. That knee injury looks like it might be an issue.
Yeah, it might be the last game we see Bailly play in the United shirt. We shall see. 79th minute. Marcus Rojo, the cheekiest Argentinian on the squad here. Flies into a challenge. I think it was on Higuain.
It was on Willian.
No. The first one was on Higuain.
That was a yellow.
He finished high, and then that wasn't enough, so he goes in hard on Willian, stamps on his.
Yeah, a little Argentina
ankle.
And Brazil crime right there.
We've played pickup soccer in Argentina, sir.
And Brazil.
But Argentina, the challenges come in heavy.
Oh, that's an Argentina challenge. Ask Argentinians, they would say.
Yeah, and all the South American countries we traveled play pickup soccer, and Argentina had the hardest challenges.
Most tough foots, for sure.
Most tattoos, most challenges in Argentina. to be expected. And in the 93rd minute, Pedro clears off the line. Rojo, great header. Again, I saw Lukaku in front of this. He might have been able to deflect it, but he was snoozing.
No, I think he could have.
If you're turned on.
I think he was worried about being offside.
Like a Sheringham. Or a Solskjaer back in the day. They would have had that extra touch. That was something that I think players nowadays avoid that touch. I think maybe previously strikers would be looking to add that touch.
Well,
needed
a little bit more pace, right? Because based on how far out Rojo was, he got
if you look at
connection
he ducks
on the ball.
Out of the way. He
well,
like
I think he
moves
was
out.
Worried he about being offside because he thought it was going in.
He could do better there, Big Luke. We're burning that
He's leaving. It looks like he's going to Serie A, sir. So don't worry about it. He's going to be burning him with Pogba.
97th minute. I mean, this we could have lost. Amazing opportunity for Higuain. The first time he wasn't offsides all game, and De Gea actually makes a save. But I think De Gea thought he was offsides, kind of shrugged it. Awkward. Either way, 1-1. Final score, sir. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm a little bit gutted, but it's basically what you expect.
Gutted. That's the only gutted. I'm gutted, sir.
Yeah, I was gutted. Chelsea. I hate losing to Chelsea. We needed to win this game. We've been under a terrible slide over the last 10 games, and all we needed to do was come out, punch him in the jaw with one of our best starting 11s available. That's like a good team that should be able to beat this Chelsea team. This Chelsea team is not that good. And we didn't do it.
We knew it.
Based on that performance, a 1-1 is the fair result. We didn't deserve to win.
We were going to win like 4-0, or it was going to be like 1-1 or 1-0 Chelsea. It's because what is going on with our fitness? Like, the second half was dreadful.
We looked so tired.
We had nothing in the second half. And, Lukaku, I'm going to call him out. There was nothing he was doing in the second half. His stepovers that he does is like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, the thing, he gets the ball on the edge of the box, just does like five stepovers
I think you're going to get your wish.
Look, you got to finish that one in the fourth minute. If that's Rashford, I'm saying the same exact thing. That's got to go in the net. And Rashford hasn't been putting them in. Again, also, Rashford had a lot of opportunities
He had a worse game than Lukaku,
to be fair. And he pulled it back a lot, couldn't find Pogba on a few chances. The pullback pass was, for some reason, like, going forward, we are just out of sorts.
We were all syncing up right when Ole came on. There seemed to be such great connection between the players when we would go on a fast break. That's let us down terribly because every time we try to score in the games that we've lost, we've given the ball away cheaply. We haven't taken advantage of fast breaks. In this game, we had a couple, and we shoot it when we should pass it, and we pass it when we should shoot it. It's not good.
Yeah, and if Herrera's leaving, we're in trouble. I mean, that's one thing where after seeing him out of our side for that long and then watching him come back in, everything good in the midfield started with him 1-2-ing with Matic or Pogba. Matic was better with Herrera there. Pogba was better with Herrera there. I mean, he added energy to our midfield. We couldn't capitalize on those chances because, you know, the strikers are out of form. But if Herrera goes to PSG, you're like arguably a player that makes everyone around him better. That intangible is going. And, you know, I've kind of dismissed him recently on the podcast. I'll own up to that. But after seeing that display in the middle of the park, I'm definitely concerned that he's going to be heading out to PSG. And that's apparently done. I've seen it everywhere.
No, it's done. Apparently it's done and dusted. Well, we should put him in a position where he's on less than 1 year left and he can talk to other clubs and we haven't locked him down to a contract. And then the Alexis Sanchez transfer just bleeds into his wage demands. It doesn't match with what we think he's worth. But Herrera is going to be a huge loss, bro, because we have all these positions to fill
it's
anyway.
It's not confirmed. First of all, for the record, when we talk about this,
close.
Stuff, it's not confirmed.
It's close.
But there's a lot of smoke. And when there's
Tier
a lot
ones.
Of smoke, sometimes, you know, the podcasting, Muppetry, we'll say it's a done deal. But we don't know. We have no clue what's going on with.
Would you give him a 3-year deal right now? Because they're talking about some big deals that, like, are being rumored. I'm hearing 4- and 5-year deals for Herrera.
I'd give him 3. I mean, he's. The thing is, you cannot never question the effort he puts on the pitch, the cheeky challenges. He's always in for a yellow. You know, he's always in for, like, pulling people down, just making a menace of the midfield. He's doing the dirty work. He'll do
he's
the dirty work.
He's got a master in shithousery, for sure.
Exactly. But he does the dirty work that, you know, the Yagbas of the world don't want to do, sir. Match reaction, possession, Manchester United 52% of the ball to Chelsea's 48%. Shots on target, Manchester United's 5 to Chelsea's 3. Chelsea didn't create anything either, and again, this is similar to the first game we played them. And if you recall, Ross Barkley took those points from us, and how tough is it to think about?
What a season. How many points have we dropped?
I mean, we'll go through the games where we dropped points in spectacular fashion, but that was one of them where I think Mike Dean added on extra time in that match. I think it was a 96th minute. There was like 4 minutes left,
and
they scored the equalizer, and we dropped points. If we had that game, we would be looking much better. I mean, the margin for error in the
EPLs.
You
can go through that list. That's quite a list this year. We've dropped a lot of points that we shouldn't
it's
have.
It's very sad. And let's get into the news here about our match. It's going to be real positive. Manchester United have not won any of their last 4 games in all competitions. They have not had a longer winless run since December 2015. Again, that Ole, we've climbed the mountain. We are down the mountain, into the valley, sir. Or maybe into the lake.
Yeah, or somewhere. We're neck deep, sir.
United attempted just 7 shots against Chelsea since 2003-2004. They've only had fewer in a Premier League game at Old Trafford on 4 previous occasions. Oh, that's not too terrible. And since his Premier League debut for Chelsea, Marcus Alonso has scored more goals than any other defender in the competition, 15. So Alonso, always dangerous.
Here's a rough stat, sir. Here's a rough one. United have kept a clean sheet in just 11% of their league games at Old Trafford this season, 2 of 18. The lowest percentage in a single competition since 1962-63. Hashtag largely justified.
Hashtag
best center backs in the world, bro.
Hey, a little positive. Juan Mata become the second player to score for both clubs in Premier League meetings between Chelsea and Manchester United after Mark Hughes. Sir, what do we know? We're just the podcast Muppets. Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No, I don't really. Because I know David. I know you know, when you're a goalkeeper or if you're a striker, you're always in the spotlight. And any time you either miss a chance or you score, you get the either bad or good headlines. The same with David when he makes great saves. He's been in the spotlight for the right reasons for so long. And then now he's going through a period where he probably feels he can have done better. But no, I don't have any worries about him because he's a strong character.
What point, Ollie, does he become a liability rather
than an asset?
Mistakes keep on happening, and surely a period out of the fine line would be the answer.
You think so? Well, there's many different ways of getting back into your best, get your best performances. And, of course, I'll sit down and speak to David, as I've done when he's played well. And he's not the... he's not the reason that we're in the sixth position at the moment.
What is the reason that you're sixth?
There's many reasons. We're challenging against good teams. Today I was happy, very happy with the start. You know, we've been maybe it's been inconsistency, because today as well we're flying in the first half, playing really well, creating chances on the front foot, play and run, and I think everyone was very pleased with the performance. Of course, we're disappointed coming into halftime with only a draw. The mood in the dressing room at halftime was very good. Everyone was backing each other. We said the right things. Second half, it was just a scrappy game. Never got the quality in either team, really. It was we certainly didn't get the intensity, quality in our pressing. And with the ball, suddenly it started to go a little two or three touches instead of the one and two we had first half.
In defensive mode here, and we're probably not hitting the nail on the head as much as I kind of looked at the punditry a little bit. Everyone's on De Gea, right? You know, we kind of glossed over that, mainly because he's just been such a monumental player for United. But are you really concerned about David De Gea? He has had issues for Spain. And then seeing him have these similar issues for us, I mean, what could be causing it? Is it something you think is systemic? Should we move on from him? I mean, Romero is a more than capable backup. Is he worth the money if he's going to essentially blow top four for us here?
Yeah, but I mean, think about all he's done to bail us out over the last couple of years, beyond the last couple of years, last 5 years.
I mean, I'm in the pro De Gea camp, but you got to play devil's advocate.
Yeah,
here.
If you were to play devil's advocate, I would still say, like, he's out of form. And what you should do now is that we're out of it, you should probably drop him for the next game and just let him, like, cool his feet a little bit, start in the last game of the year, but take a break. And, you know, Ole showed faith in them, defended him again in the press conference.
Pay him. Do you pay him big
money?
Yes,
you still pay him because he's out of form, bro. And it's like any player being out of form. Like, Rooney would go 10 games without scoring
back
a goal.
What if he never comes back?
Well, he will.
Like Space Jam. He's just like done. Yeah,
forever? Just like, then his, we're in trouble. His deal then with the devil. Then we're in trouble.
His deal with the devil's done. It's just like ended. It's like, this is it.
He's got to grow that beard. He's got to grow that goat beard back.
He should. Yeah, he does. He's gonna, sir, we got Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow. Today, give us those salty headlines.
Speaking of Dave, I Carumba Dave. Dave is gone from our most consistent player, bailing us out countless times over the last decade, only go through the worst run of form in his career at the most pivotal time in our season. But, like we said earlier, can't be too hard on Dave, but his form will likely have costed us the top four. But his teammates should have bailed him out,
but
bro.
Here's the deal.
Hold on a second. He screwed up at the end of the first half, but United didn't create shit. Apart from a couple, like, glance chances in the second half, they should have created more. They should have bailed out De Gea after all the times that he's bailed his team out and gotten the win. Because
exactly. So the way my whole thought process is, look, we go in first half 1-1, probably undeserved from Chelsea, but we have enough talent in that locker room to score and create chances in the second half. I wasn't worried. I thought we would win it. We're at home. We got to do it. This is Old Trafford, Fergie time. We had 7 minutes. This is what we do. This is like bread and butter, Manchester United. If you want to be on the top four, we grind out these type of games. We did not create anything. And like, for me, when Ole is defending David De Gea, where they're like, oh, is he the reason when you're not in the top four? It's like, we cannot score goals. You can't score goals, you're not going to win matches. It's like, we should be scoring 3-4 goals against the opposition we've been playing. We have let in 3 or 4 goals against the opposition we've been playing. So to put it all on De Gea, I have to look at the front three, the front two, Martial, Lingard, Rashford, Lukaku. I mean, these are the players I think, in the end of the day, are really costing us, because, like you said, they should be able to bail out De Gea for, a bad mistake.
Because that's the right thing to do. You got to find a way to pick yourselves up as the outfield players and go score a goal and bail out your goalie after he makes a mistake, because we just didn't bring the intensity. And then Chelsea were happy to lull us to sleep and play that game with us, because they knew that the point for them was enough, and for us it would kill our chances.
Kill our chances. Sir, next headline.
And still, Ed, we continue to wait. The season ends in 2 weeks, and we still don't have a director of football in place planning for summer deals outside of Mr. Ed Woodward. Club needs one of the biggest overhauls in history, and we are likely starting from behind as usual. If I was an American Red Devil fan, I would manage your expectations about summer signings given our recent history. I am not expecting to be blown away, sir.
Hashtag Woodward350. I know he's a fan. He's listening to the pod. Spend that money, sir. Next headline.
If he's not listening, he certainly should be. And last but not least, well and truly out of it, the poor form of all four teams gunning for the last two Champions League spots is why United even had a chance to qualify after Ole's great run when he first took over. However, the Chelsea game proved decisive, and with two games to go, we should blood the youth. Chong, Greenwood, Gardner. I know we got, I mean, if we win, you never know, but still, we should play some of those young players, give them a chance. Season's over.
It's not over. It's, you know, I've seen crazier things happen before, but the fact that Manchester United has not stepped up when all the opposition have wilted, I mean, that's something that we have always done. We've always had the character in the dressing room to know. You watch the Arsenal match, they're there for the taking. Chelsea are thinking that they're there for the taking. They didn't even come out and create too much against us in such a big game for Chelsea. Again, it reminds me of the FA Cup final that we lost to Chelsea. They did nothing to win it except Phil Jones conceded the penalty and then we gifted in the FA Cup final. If we have the character in a side to really push through and grab this game by the scruff of the neck, I mean, just tough stuff from United. And that's why at the end of the day, we need strong leadership in the dressing room. Ashley Young is a captain. I mean, look, he's done a job for this team. You have to look at how long he's played at this club when Sir Alex Ferguson brought him in. The fact that he's even man-marking Hazard and can play right back is a miracle. You have to look at Ed Woodward for he's the one looking at the depth chart, not bringing in someone new that could maybe learn under Ashley Young. But there's so many holes in this side, but Ashley Young's not going to be the captain to our next title-winning side.
No.
Is Paul Pogba going to be the captain to the next title-winning side? I hope so. Maybe not. But at the end of the day, we need leaders in the dressing room. Is Lukaku a leader? Doesn't look like it. Is De Gea a leader? Maybe a silent one. Herrera, could he be? Probably, but he's going to PSG. So for me, it's like you need the Roy Keane, his comments midweek. I mean, that speaks to every Manchester United fan, everyone who's ever worn the jersey. And we need someone like that in the dressing room, someone who's going to basically tell everyone what it means to play for this club and not give up a blade of grass at the sacred ground that is Old Trafford, sir. Let's check in with the table. Give us the damage that has been done. Where do we stand?
Ooh, so it is a title race. City are 1 point ahead of Liverpool with two games to go.
That's all I got. All I got is Liverpool not winning the title.
Hopefully they don't choke. I mean, hopefully City don't blow it. Today was a nervy one at Burnley. And then Spurs are in third with 70 points. Chelsea are in fourth with 68. Arsenal are in fifth with 66. And United are in sixth with 65. So feels like we're out of it, but hey, you never know. You never know.
So the real reason why it's really tough is if we win, Chelsea loses. We're both tied on 68, but the goal differential plus 13 compared to plus 21 for Chelsea and plus 20 for Arsenal. I mean, surely we're out of it. It has to be 3% chance, I want to say. Again, you're looking at Chelsea needs to lose out.
They need to basically get 1 point out of the next two games.
No, but either we need to score seven goals and Chelsea only lose one of their last two, or we need to win two and Chelsea loses two and Arsenal loses two, and then we surpass them, right? So it's kind of...
Well, we got to win out, and they have to basically tie, and Arsenal have to lose at least one game.
So
and they've
Arsenal
been on an unbelievable losing streak.
The scenario is Chelsea have to lose two, Arsenal has to lose one, and we need to win out.
Chelsea can lose one, tie one.
That's correct.
But they have to, if they win one game, we're out.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
If
Chelsea wins one game, we're out.
And draws one game.
Yes.
No, we're out. Yeah. But hey.
So you're saying there is a chance I will never give up, just like the Battle of the Bastards. Jon Snow didn't give up. I'm not giving up, sir.
Where's the veil? I'm waiting for that. Alexis Sanchez, dirty Sanchez stash to pay off and has not paid off.
Yeah. Getting a lot of cash money for that that terrible mustache, sir. Let's check in with the Twitterverse here real quickly. Liam Paul Canning on Twitter, quote, says it all. When a club is willing to let one of the most important players leave on a free transfer, some disagree about his talent, but Herrera is an integral part of this team. Today showed that again. Couldn't agree more. Again, it's probably a done deal. Sad day when you're letting a player like that leave on a free.
Especially when he's gotten so
bad.
He's finally gotten good. He's gotten you bring him in from Bilbao, right? And then he takes a couple years to get adjusted to the Premier League. And then under Mourinho, I think he finally starts really getting his feet. And now you let him go. We should have re-signed him under Mourinho. This is a mistake because we got to replace him, and we had to get midfield reinforcements anyway, and we have to basically add another one to the list. So this is worrying stuff about club.
It's not looking good, sir.
Execution, sir. They're blowing a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. When you're losing players that you need to stay, then you know the rebuild's gonna be.
You shouldn't be losing.
Twice
you shouldn't
hard.
Be losing Andy Herrera.
Twice as hard. Next tweet at Man United Mindset on Twitter. Quote: David De Gea has now made more errors directly leading to an opposition goal this season than in the previous five seasons combined. I mean, we're seeing it up front and center, sir. It ain't pretty, and you know, to see it happen to, like you said, our best player over the last probably five seasons, it's tough to watch. I mean, I saw the highlights, and I saw the Mata goal, everyone shouting, and then I see that De Gea error, and then Chelsea celebrating, and that's like the goal that ended up being the difference. It's like it's heartbreaking, really, to watch. Next tweet at USA Red Devils on Twitter. If you don't follow them, not a bad handle, sir.
Not bad.
Today I was tweeting from 36,000 feet. Quote, tale of two halves. Hashtag MUFC didn't create enough to deserve 3 points in the second half. And I think that says it all, right?
Basically, tale of the pod, right? Is that we didn't rebound like we should have in the second half because that game was still there to be won. 1-1 at Old Trafford, not the strongest Chelsea team you're gonna face. You got to go out there and get the win.
Yeah, and it all boils down to that Arsenal game away where I said, we'll remember that game as the beginning of the end.
You might have been too right, sir.
I said, that game, if we beat Arsenal at the Emirates and we go into the top four, we are cruising to our to Champions League football next season. And ever since that game, it's been
even tough. More so than you could have ever expected. Like I don't think we've had a meltdown like
tough
this.
Tough to watch. Tough to
since
watch,
since you
guys.
Can remember, it's hard.
United in the news, first article, bit of transfer speculation. This is per ESPN and various sources. A lot of reputable journos have been printing. Eriksen is up to basically trade from Tottenham.
A lot
again,
of smoke.
Again, we are interested. I think a lot of teams are interested. I think Real Madrid is interested. So again, I'm sure he is on the block. I'm sure Tottenham is floating this one because contract talks might have stalled with Eriksen. And, you know, the rumor around the grounds in North London are that basically Tottenham are going to sell some players and finance some new acquisitions for Poch.
Yep. This being one of them, right? Because he's on the last year of his contract once we hit the summer. And he's going to want big, big money. He probably he deserves it. And Tottenham aren't going to pay it. Tottenham are cheap. They're going to pay Harry Kane. He gets less than Phil Jones.
I rate Eriksen a lot. I actually saw him play for Ajax way back when, before he moved to Tottenham. He was the best player on the pitch in the Dutch league. Clearly, took him a few seasons to come off in England, but he would be a great player.
Him and Pogba would be pretty good.
I have him and Pogba playing in a midfield too on my FIFA Ultimate team. So, you know, I should be the director of football at Manchester United. I think we could pay upwards of $90 million to grab him. Again, I have to think Tottenham would prefer to sell him to Madrid, and Madrid would match any offer that Manchester United would give. So I don't think, as much as I would like for him to come to United, I'm just going to say I don't see it happening because of foreign interest and Tottenham's preference to sell abroad.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Levy's going to demand such a ridiculous fee to sell him to United because he doesn't want to strengthen us, and it would be such a huge strengthen for us. This would be a massive transfer, one of their best players. I don't see it happening because they would demand Pogba money.
Next article, sir. Saudis give up on United purchase per The Sun. I saw some rumors as well, basically how the Saudi Arabian bidders, MBS, kind of withdrawal their interest for Manchester United, and the Glazers have a renewed hands-on approach to managing the club. I have
whatever
no
that
idea
means. Whatever that means. More dividends.
take more money out of it. I'm sure they probably see the issues with the club, and they probably want to bring them back to the top of English football before they sell. I would imagine that would be their desire, just because they're hungry for more cheddar, more money.
Hey, if that means they want to bring us back to the top of English football and they're going to reinvest in the club so they can have a giant cash event in 5 years, I'm cool with it. But they got to be investing in the club, because it feels like they've been checked out for the last like year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you can't control this stuff when it comes to the sale of the club. I just got to rate them on the business they do in the summer. Next article, per the Metro, sir, you got to increase the quality of these sources.
Well, it's tier four at least,
tier
sir.
Four. Paul Scholes under consideration for role in Manchester United revamp. Apparently, Manchester United are keen to get Paul Scholes into the club to have him look at restructuring the behind-the-scenes operation as far as it relates to football, maybe as part of Mike Phelan, director of football role. love to have Scholes involved, but you know he has a heavy hand in a dice game when it comes to that betting. So you don't know if he's going to be willing to give that up.
He does like his William Hill account. He's an active user, a very active user. I'd love to have Scholes involved with the club. He's critical. I mean, I don't know how – it seems like it's unlikely just based on the fact that all the critical things he said about the way the club is run. But, hey, I'd be all about it.
Next article, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola is hoping to secure the services of Manchester United target and Leicester City center back Slabhead, a.k.a. Harry Maguire, reports from The Sun. I mean, this would be atrocious. We could have got Harry Maguire for $75 million last summer. Should have done the deal. Easy as you like, right?
I mean, 75 is still rich, I think. 60 feels more like it, but based on the fact that we finished, right, if we would have finished in the top four if we signed a center back, hey, you don't know, Mourinho might have still been around, but we need to sign one now. And I don't know if he's the top of my list. There are a couple other names that I'd be interested in, but $75 million is good money. So whoever it is, they got to be a top center back because we need one.
I think last summer you had to overpay. I mean, clearly, like, at a certain point, the price you have to pay for footballers, if it was $15 million extra to get a defender and you really need a defender, it's worth it, right? If you look at our defense, we really could have used Harry Maguire. So at the end of the day, what's the value worth to a $3.8 billion franchise? It's worth the cash. It's worth overpaying for Harry Maguire when you need him. Like, look at the amount of money that Chelsea and Liverpool have paid for keepers. Yeah. Guess what? They overpaid because they needed keepers, and they got them, and look where they are. So it's like, at the end of the day, ends justify the means. So what's $15 million when it comes to Harry Slabhead Maguire? Jumping to fan questions. Thank you so much for the banner getting this to us on Twitter. At C. Monk Conan on Twitter. Quote, what could be the reason David De Gea struggled a little bit? Still number one keeper for me, as a few mistakes don't ruin the man's incredible career, but his mentality seems off. Do we let him relax and play Romero, or do we give him a chance to redeem himself, sir? What do you think?
I mean, I said it a little earlier. I think you do let Romero come in for a game, the next one, which I believe is against Huddersfield, if I'm remembering correctly. And then the last game of the year, you have De Gea finish out at Old Trafford at home. That's how I would do it. But what do you think, sir?
I think you talk to Dave.
There you go. That's a good idea.
You know, you talk to Dave. Hey, you need a break. He'll probably say no, and then you start him. I think the best way to forget the mistake is get back in there.
Yeah.
You know, for a goalkeeper, the striker, resting the striker is kind of not as
because they can come in glaring. Right? They can come off the bench. Like, goalie's not coming off the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like a red alert like a keeper. Like, you bench a keeper, it's kind of like something's wrong.
Yeah.
So I think the keeper just needs to get back into the motions, make that save, you know.
Last two games, the season finished strong.
Get that mojo flowing again.
Some clean sheets out of that.
Next, bit of banter at Dave Paz on Twitter. That's a double Z. Quote, I'm ready for the United 4.0, the rebuild. Loving the banter here. Again, I think I said in the last pod, look, you're saying there's a chance. You always got to believe. You can never give up here. Crazier things have happened in football, sir, us making the top four. But at the end of the day, having Ole and Mike Phelan and maybe even Paul Scholes involved in the direction of this team from a footballing operation standpoint and rebuilding Manchester United into something that we can all enjoy. Fast, powerful counterattack with strikers that can finish. I mean, I tweeted out an article about Werner. A lot of different players we can bring in. Sancho of the like. You know, maybe an Mbappe. You never know.
You might be ready to leave.
But I think those guys know exactly how United should be playing, and I trust them with the transfer kitty more than LVG, more than David Moyes, and more so than Jose Mourinho, because Mourinho was only looking for those kind of players that are a little over the hill looking for that quick fix. So
short-term fix, for sure.
I think they're going to be thinking long-term, quality youth, and they're going to get back to that power and pace.
I hope so. I mean, what the great Manchester United teams were built on in the past, but we need the manager to be backed, and we need to be patient, because fans are already calling for heads. Fairly so. I mean, after all the highs of the Ole times, we've had some lows to go with them that are matched.
So, first of all, we have to figure out, if anyone wants to tweet us on like the best way to burn a jersey, we need to figure.
We'll probably have at least two to burn this summer.
I think we need to. The way I was thinking was some sort of like hanging mechanism where you can like hang it on a metal hanger, and then like first you have to clearly soak it in some flammable solution. Like
I think those things will light up pretty quickly.
No, you got to like soak it in lighter fluid, then let it dry. Then you hang it from like a metal hanger outside.
Yeah, you want to do this at your house, sir?
And then you just light it. What's because we got to make it look optically great for YouTube
digestible,
and Twitter.
Very digestible.
But that Lukaku jersey, I if Manchester United keep Romelu Lukaku, he cannot fit into a front three the way we should be playing. I do think he's better than his recent run of form. I don't dislike him at all. I just think as far as how Manchester United should be playing, the likes of Lingard's and Rashford's of the world, I give more time based on the style of play, sir. I know where you stand, sir.
But
I know it's your jersey,
sir.
He might
be ready for something new because he's not getting a lot of love from United fans. He's having a tough season.
How do you feel about that? You think it's just like if you think about what Ole and probably Phelan want to play, the style of play, does he really fit in? Like those step overs.
I think give another season. That's my opinion. Give him another year. If he can't fit the mold, we don't even know the full mold of Ole
yet. He wasn't bad at Chelsea, but like it's
he was good until he tired. Good. He seemed to be very tired by the end of the first half.
It's like you just don't know what you're going to get with him. So like, yes, his best might be better than average, but his consistency is kind of the issue. It's like he might have a club foot touch, and then he'll have that with
most of this squad, sir. Consistency seems to be an issue.
Consistency is the issue. Next tweet at FUCK Scam Newton on Twitter. Seems like the lack of stamina to play two halves of high pressure cost us. Also, most players look very relaxed, like we don't have anything to fight for. I mean, that's in the second half. That's exactly hitting the nail on the head. Nothing to fight for. And Lukaku was one of them. Pogba was one of them. Can you think of any others?
Rashford was. He didn't have his best second half. He got tired.
I think he's injured.
Sanchez didn't offer much with that dirty Sanchez mustache. Unfortunately,
he went in for some hard challenges. I mean, everyone's slaying Sanchez again. He just not coming off, not getting the ball.
I thought Luke Shaw played well. I mean, that was something. Luke Shaw has definitely been the player of the season.
Yeah, Shaw played well. Baye had some good challenges. Herrera,
Lindelof
was
had some.
It
was pretty good. Hey, sir.
But also
you rebuild
like,
4.0, baby.
It's also like. You mentioned it was a lot of backward passing. Phelan was freaking out about that
in the second half,
as
though,
well.
Right? We lost confidence.
And it's because when you make that turn in the midfield and you look forward, when Pogba gets the ball and he's like goes forward or he turns off a defender and he breaks, it's like that's the moment where we can attack, score these goals. And we kind of have it in fits and starts. And again, I think it comes down to that word, probably the word of the day, consistency. For Manchester United, and we
our lack of it.
But hey, speaking of consistency, this podcast, a little housekeeping here. We've been trying to upload as consistently as we can. You know, jet lagged, on the road. I'm like traveling with an extra laptop with my sound editing software, doing everything we can to get the word out. The hot banter for the American Red Devils. I love doing this podcast, sir. I have a blast. It makes me get even more into the team I love. And we want to hear from you guys, the fans. That's right. We have a survey that we're currently conducting. We almost have 100 responses. That was kind of our goal, get to 100 responses.
Nearly there.
So we can make sure to incorporate the feedback into this podcast for this season and next, as also the summer as well. We're going to be releasing some hysterical content. One idea that I had was maybe rewatching old United matches. Now that times are so tough, sir, we might need a little pick-me-up. Maybe we could share a link of a match that's on YouTube, a classic match, and we could break it down. You know, that way we could have the podcast listeners, you know, watch a happy, like
happier times.
Happier times. No Chevrolet on the jersey.
No Ashley Young. You know,
some like
well, it might
real,
be Ashley Young on
some,
the left wing.
Some late winners. You know, I actually think over the summer we should be doing that. But again, fun ideas. Please give us your suggestions. Fill out that survey, and we're giving away next season's jersey. So the size, player, style of your choice. We'll be giving away one jersey of the participants that complete the survey, and we're giving away our first American Red Devil scarf, which we'll be featuring next season as well. So you can get some cool swag. It literally takes 5 minutes, and we'd love the feedback.
Unfortunately, the Chevy logo is not optional.
Yes.
We could not remove that.
Yes, I have not bought a Chevrolet jersey, unlike you, which is why we're probably burning some of these cursed jerseys.
We're going to have a barbecue this summer,
death
sir.
By fire. It's going to be great. We'll make a special occasion out of it.
Barbecue.
But hey, we would not be here if it wasn't for you, the fans, the listeners, sir. We have some top downloads from cities the last 7 days. Kick us off on the board here. Top 10.
Sir, number one, HQ, headquarters, San Francisco.
Broadcasting from
The couch.
The couch. The headquarters of the American Devil Studios in San Francisco, California.
San Francisco, California. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Number two, Hyattsville, Maryland. Number three, New York, New York. And number four, special spot, Summit, New Jersey. How you doing? How you doing?
New York was there this morning. How you doing? Good pizza.
Yeah, you miss it?
Crowded. That's all I got to say. Number five, Dublin, Ireland. Have a Guinness. Number six, the Shire, Oslo, Norway. Been going strong since Solskjaer taking the reins at Manchester United. We're rooting for Ole. He's at the wheel. You know how good it feels. Number seven, Atlanta, Georgia. Sir finishes off strong.
Number eight, London, UK. Number nine, Brooklyn, New York. And number 10, Seattle, Washington. Seattle Red Army. How you doing? How you doing?
Always shout out to Seattle Red Army. Strong supporters group out on the West Coast here. You know, the West Coast, we got to get up early, sir. That's our cross to bear here. We got to set that timer. Get up at 5:30. Watching us lose to Everton 4-0. Probably the low of the year.
Worse than the red wedding or better?
My wife is like yelling at me, "You're getting up. You're waking me up." I got it, babe. Season's on the line.
A big game. Everton away. Yeah. Four nothing. The worst
four
part.
Nothing.
The worst part when it's that early is that it kind of affects the rest of your day. But it happens so early that sometimes you forget it's even the same day.
Yeah, then we went out and ran, 7 miles? Then we did a podcast. That was a long slog. Then I got to edit the pod. But hey, such is life here. American Red Devils podcast. Love it. Love it every day. Even though the team's losing, I wear that jersey with pride. It's tough times, but, you know, the highs wouldn't be the highs without the lows, sir.
So that's life. That's life right there. I think things are going to get bright again. You know, we're all behind Ole. He's going to get a transfer kitty, hopefully 350, probably more like 250. As long as it's not 150.
We're not Chelsea. We're not getting a transfer ban. Our best player isn't leaving for Real Madrid yet.
Yeah, well, easy, bro. You might be burning your jersey.
We might. And so, you know, let's get back into the history. NBC released the 20-year celebration of the treble. So,
the impossible dream.
Let's all take a moment to reflect on the history this week, because, you know, it is tough times. But look, there's always another match, sir. We'll be giving you a breakdown later in this week, maybe Thursday or Friday of the Sunday match. And look, we're not out till we're out, sir. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.